Television executive Andrew Shaw is about to be formally handed the title he probably warranted about 30 years ago. The New Zealand TV Awards have named him the TV Legend for 2020, given to a person or organisation making a significant contribution to the television industry over the years. Now, I remember when he directed the video for Dee Dee Smash's Outlook for Thursday. And a Dee Dee Outlook for Thursday. Your guess is good as mine. We'll be together, yeah, together by design. Sunshine. 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 TV Legend all seems a bit grown up for someone who still, for many people, is thought of as, hey, hey, it's Andy. Andrew Shaw, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. It's very kind of you.
So, do you get a badge?
I don't know what I get. I did ask if there was a cash prize. I mean, it's an extraordinarily generous gift on behalf of the industry, and you know, I'm deeply touched by it, and I guess just given the recognition is more than enough, isn't it?
There's a great Hollywood quote that I always thought summed up your career. He didn't come up the hard way, but he came up the whole way. I mean, you've been in or near TV just about all your life, haven't you?
I mean, I would like to say that I think it's simply been an extraordinary journey for the industry. And although, you know, I hope I've made contributions along the way, I have simply had the extraordinary good fortune to be in, around, on all of these extraordinary changes. The massive explosion in local creativity, the birth of the second channel, the birth of the competing channels, the growth from nowhere of the independent production community. So many things, you know, that I've had the extraordinary good luck to witness.
Going right back before you even joined TV, your dad was a feared TV critic, wasn't he, back in the day when there were such things?
Yes. I mean, I've got to say this. Yes, he was fierce. He loved New Zealand shows and he was passionate about what could be done here and felt strongly that he needed to critic only the work, not the workers. He was, I thought, a good writer because he didn't have any personal ambition or personality interest. He just loved television. If you ever, in our household as a child, crossed the beam of death between my father's eyesight and the TV, you got hit by a notebook. That was something you never did. You never interfered or spoke or crossed the line of sight. If he was watching a show, you didn't go there.
He, of course, started out from the time there was just one channel, and yeah. Your career was basically launched with two channels. Suddenly, there was TV One and TV Two, and you were the voice of youth on TV Two.
Yeah, I mean, oddly enough, it's like my career was assisted by launch because I got a channel attached to me. you know, the birth of TV Two, you know, was a tremendous experience. If you know, I was 18. When you don't have any knowledge, you're also mercifully free of any anxiety because you can only experience your ideas, and if they turn out to be good or bad, at least it's an adventure. And at the time when TV2 was launching, really, there was a bunch of mavericks in there who were just making it up as they went along. And that was a tremendous environment to work in.
I mean, how soon before you started to think, I'm sick of being the man in front of the camera, I want to get my hands on the equipment?
It wasn't so much about any power, but I could see what multi-camera directing, which was, of course, the primary form of, you know, live or near-live television was in the 1970s, was an extraordinary place to be. And as I've said in an article with The Listener just this week, my great friend and broadcasting legend, Peter Sinclair, did say, Andrew, you are good, but you're not great, so you should look ahead.
In fact, you were there when you didn't have to be as slick as Peter Sinclair, you know. You could represent the public in some respects, and in a lot of ways you did, particularly on telethon. I thought you were born for telethon.
what does it say about my personality and ego? You hand me a live 24-hour television show and a microphone, and you have to drag me out of shot with a hook, you know. Those things, as you will remember, were extraordinary environments to be in. Yeah. At what time could an entire country be fixated on one television event for 24 hours, live? Wonderful to present, even more wonderful to produce on, just extraordinary.
But your whole background, when you were producing and directing, before you became an executive, was very much in the entertainment area, wasn't it? You weren't drama, you weren't documentaries, you were very much live music, live, you know, entertainment, comedy, that sort of thing, weren't you?
entertainment was my way through, after working in kids, to do, you know, shows like the Billy T. James Show and Radio Times, to do the award shows live, ballet, an outdoor concert, event, you know. Those were the sorts of things that the entertainment unit inside the broadcaster then did considerable amounts of, more so than drama. And so that was where my skill lies. I love drama. I'm absolutely passionate about New Zealand drama particularly. But I recognise that, you know, I wasn't born with the necessary DNA to be the person that should make it.
I think one thing that you did have, though, Andrew, is the fact that you looked at all the programmes that you were responsible for, and after a while you were responsible for just about everything that was coming out on TVNZ. But you always looked at it from the point of view of the entertainment value. You looked at it from the point of view of, I can sell that to an advertising agency. I can sell that to an audience.
You know, we are an advertising-led industry. Without that investment, you know, we can't make the local shows that we need to make. But you have to be an audience advocate. When you occupy those roles of either a commissioner or an acquisitions executive or a programmer particularly, you have to ask yourselves, will the audience be entertained by this? Will they commit an hour a week or 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week in terms of reality particularly to this story? Will it capture their imagination? Does it touch them? If it doesn't speak to you at that level, bearing in mind that, you know, I don't speak for all New Zealanders, it's just, you know, it's a gut instinct, you know. If it doesn't speak to you at that level, it's probably not a good idea to make it.
Can you remember some of the shows that you were proudest to have put through? I mean, I'm asking you to rewind through 40 years of working in TV, but there were things that you remembered?
No, I mean, it's like, you know, asking a man that's got 72 children which one's his favourite son, isn't it? When I went back to TVNZ in 2007, I wanted to see us make a very significant recommitting to New Zealand drama. And so the birth of the what then became known as the Sunday Theatres, films like Piece of My Broken Heart, Ablaze, Monster of Mangatiki, those big feature-length one-offs were very important to me, as well as getting back into series drama. And through the good efforts of an extremely motivated commissioning team and a supportive administration, we were able to do that and get great shows, you know, like Go Girls, you know, which, you know, ran for five seasons.
I know that some critics of you, Andrew, I know it's almost impossible to think that there are any, but there, you know, one or two troubled souls, would be perhaps sheeting home the blame for the rise of reality TV to some of the stuff that you guys were looking after in the late 90s.
Well, they could. I think it's a relatively pointless hobby to dislike any form of television and to simply say the world is poorer for the explosion of reality television. I mean, reality television is, you know, a new form of storytelling. You can like it, loathe it. I mean, it's up to the public. You know, it's their eyes and their time which determines whether or not a show is successful or not. But it has broadened the skill set in the New Zealand production sector. It has created the ability to tell stories about ourselves that don't exist in other forms. It is highly entertaining and can be annoying, but shows like MasterChef and The Apprentice and My Kitchen Rules have made a positive contribution, not only to the industry economically, but to the businesses that have made them. And the audiences have certainly enjoyed them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be renewed if people weren't watching them.
I have to say, running the risk of having a notebook thrown at me, I wonder what your dad would have made of The Bachelorette or Married at First Sight.
Well, you know, he'd have had quite a lot to say. But, you know, I guess, you know, with the respect of my father or any critic, our task is not to own, control or put upon the audience our views, our cultures, our attitudes to what content should be made. Our task as an industry is to delight, to examine, to investigate, to entertain, to inform, to create debate. And for that, you need content that is challenging. It must challenge people's tastes. It must challenge people's concept of their own country, of their reality. I mean, if it doesn't create a debate, a source of delight and anger, then it's missing the point, right?
I look at the range of stuff that's out now. So many channels, so much stuff, so much New Zealand stuff. But I have to ask how hard it is to keep up with everything. People keep saying now that linear TV is dead and that people prefer to go on demand or go into streaming. What do you say to them?
People have been announcing the death of one form of media or another ever since there was a second form of media. So it's all, from my perspective, you know, additive. There is more local content right now than I think there has been for a very long time, and that's a great thing. And it's critically important in a time when there are so many global giants commissioning so much content that New Zealand voices have a place we can find them. And that is on linear and it's on demand. And the pairing of TVNZ's channels and TVNZ On Demand has developed now from what was a catch-up service to a now pretty much best-in-market service for people who don't have the time or the inclination or the lifestyle to watch content live. The fact is that telling New Zealand stories in all of their forms and making those shows available in as many different places as possible so the audience can find them, that is the mission. If anything, I think people are going to want to see more of themselves in a world when there are so many other options.
After all this time in the business, Andrew, I mean, do you have any advice at all for anyone who's trying to get a show up on TV?
Well, you've got to avoid patronising remarks from older executives to young people. Obviously, putting aside the necessaries of having an absolute belief in the idea and a passion to make it, they have to ask themselves, what is the problem that I'm solving? What is the creative solution that I'm providing to the platform? Either it is a concept that's going to provide a positive outcome for an audience that's not being satisfied. It's going to be an idea that breaks a genre. It's not just the same as anything that's on air. It's got to be a step forward, a step beyond, or a step aside of what that creator is currently seeing. An untold story in a new form, that has to be what they come in with. That and an undying belief in the idea and just hang on. A no from somebody is not the end of an idea. It is simply that one person's decision on that day. It does not change anything. And there will be a lot of people possibly hearing this who will have gone through this journey and gone, yeah, I took three no's, four maybes, don't call me back, and then still got the thing made.
That's long-time television exec Andrew Shaw, who's this year's recipient of the prestigious New Zealand TV Legend Honour at the TV Awards this Wednesday.